1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, everybody. Visions of Cody podcast, episode 7. Thank you once again for joining me. It's a very big night tonight. Very high energy. Really pumped up. I love political results night, election nights. Love watching the results coming in. Love listening to the idiots talk about it. Oh, it's all so good. And now with the internet and the blogs and everything, it's fantastic. I love this. I am prepared today to make my official endorsement. I will say I've been completely won over this election season by MSNBC, and I heartily recommend MSNBC for your political viewing. Joe Scarborough in the morning, surprisingly enjoyable in the morning when getting ready for work. And of course, Keith Olbermann at 8 o'clock, who is probably the greatest living American. He says the things that you wish more people would say. And it's amazing that it took a sportscaster turned newscaster for someone to actually come out and really speak the truth to power. But Olbermann is amazing. So 6 chakras, the official rating for MSNBC and their political coverage this season. Enjoying it greatly. And also tomorrow night, or Wednesday night, tonight when you listen to this, the Black Crowes come into Somerville, Massachusetts. Huge, huge night. They're going to unveil the entire new album that came out today. I haven't listened to it. I'm going in blind. This will be only the third time that I've seen the Crowes since they got back together in 2005. So it's been a long, dry spell. Only my third trip to see the Crowes. And I'm really excited for that. So very pumped up today with the politics and the Crowes coming. And my new home practice sequence, which has been going swimmingly. Today it was actually warm. It almost hit 50 degrees before the monsoon hit, which was wonderful daylight saving. So things are good here. I hope things are going as well wherever you are as they are for me. So I thought today I'd talk a little bit about talking about yoga, because I am nearing the 4th anniversary of my yoga practice, just almost up at 4 years. Soon is 4 years. May. That's pretty soon. But so 3.5, 4 years. And I've noticed that I've now entered a new stage of my yoga practice, or at least talking about my yoga practice. I think the first stage, when you first start practicing, it's a little overwhelming and you like it and you get sucked in, but you don't understand a lot about it, so you don't talk much about it. The second stage is when you start, the obsession really catches on and you really start digging into everything and everything about yoga, and you start talking about it a lot, and all of a sudden every conversation you have with every person, somehow you find a way to bring yoga into it. And then I think you hit the third stage when you realize that people don't want to hear about it, that most normal people don't have any interest in hearing you talk about yoga. So you really have to learn to curtail your yoga conversations, or else just realize that people are going to stop talking to you because you're just going to be the weird yoga person. So I've definitely hit now that third, fourth stage where I'm not an evangelist for yoga, but if someone brings it up, I'm happy to talk about it. Some of the things I've noticed, while it seems nice, telling people that you're going to dedicate a practice to them is weird, and most people don't take that in the right way, in the way that it's intended. So I think dedicating a practice to someone is something that it's nice to do if that's your sort of thing, but maybe just keep it to yourself and see if the magic works without telling the person, because it seems to creep them out just a little bit. Now, perhaps it's less creepy if you don't practice in your underwear in your living room, because that might add to the image of you chanting somebody's name in your underwear in the living room in the morning. But I'm just going to make that recommendation, a blanket recommendation. If you want to dedicate a practice to someone, don't tell them that you're doing it, because it will just make them think you're weird. My other rule of thumb is that if people ask me about yoga, I'll generally lay low for a little while. I'll just kind of be like, yeah, yoga's cool. Yeah, I do it in the morning. Yeah, it's really good. And I'll wait until like the third time they bring it up to me to really start getting into it. Because I feel like a lot of people say that because they know that you do it and they think that, you know, it's a good conversation starter. But I don't want to start getting too heavy or too deep into it, because it's really quick to go from like, oh, there's that guy that likes yoga, to, oh, there's that weird freak. It happens in an instant, in the blink of an eye. So you probably, I like to say on the third time, the first time someone brings it up, I'm like, oh yeah, yoga's great. I love it. I go every day. I do it every day. The second time I'll get a little bit more into it, but I won't really get much more details. I'll just say like, oh yeah, you know, we practice every day. It's about an hour, blah, blah, blah. But the third time, I feel like the third time is the indicator that someone's really interested, and then I'll lay into it. And usually my rap will say, yeah, well, the postures are a lot of fun. That's just one piece of it. And then take it from there. So I feel like I've successfully gone through the yoga evangelist, where you tell every person, every subject, no matter what, that yoga is the answer to their problem, whether they asked for an answer or not, whether they asked for advice. So they'll be like, oh yeah, my stomach's feeling really bad. And you're like, yeah, you know what you need? A little yoga. That's going to help you out. Or if people's like, oh, my back hurts, my shoulder hurts. And you're like, well, you know what? A little yoga would help you out. And I found myself for a while there probably getting into that tendency where you recommend yoga as the cure for everything. Which it is. I think we all know that. But other people start to feel like it's an overpromise. So I'm through that phase now. But there's one area that I find I can't help myself. And I was guilty of doing it the other day in an interview, of all places. Because I couldn't... For some reason, it's just stuck in my craw, the whole idea of karma. Because it took me a really long time to figure out what karma meant. And then once it kind of clicked for me, now it drives me crazy when people misuse the term. So I feel compelled to go into this whole long speech, this useless, tedious speech about what karma really is. And I don't know, I have to stop because I'm sure it's horrible, but it's the last vestige of yoga evangelism that I have. So I guess I'm going to have to hang on to it for a little while. But here is my official what karma really is rap. And for no reason in particular, I'll play act the whole scene. You'll be able to see my acting chops and work. So I says, fine if you's gonna be that way, but then don't come crying to me if there's some bad karma coming your way. Well, you know, karma doesn't work like that. What are you talking about? Of course karma works like that. You do good things happen to you. You do bad things happen to you. Well, no, it doesn't. I mean, it's not that direct. There's no super god that's going to reward you for good things and punish you for bad things. It all happens in your mind. What are you talking about? It all happens in your mind. You ever see that show Earl? When Earl knocks bad things off his list, when he does good things happen to Earl. When he does bad things happens to Earl. That's not in his mind. I've seen that on the show. Yeah, on the show it's like that, but karma is just the Sanskrit word for action. It just means your actions. And you create your own karma. What are you talking about? Create my own karma? Are you crazy? I have no idea what you are talking about. You are certifiably insane. No, it works like this. Your actions, how you go about your life, is based upon how you perceive the world. And how you perceive the world is based entirely upon your beliefs and your thoughts and your experiences. So how you go about your daily life and how you interact with people and the actions you decide to take are entirely driven by how you perceive the world. Those actions, the more you do them, the more habitual they become deep-seated tendencies, and they reinforce your worldview. And the more they reinforce your worldview, the more the actions that you take reflect that worldview. So you actually create your own karma. Because you see the world a certain way, you act based upon that perception. Those actions then reinforce your beliefs, and you continue this cycle. I have no idea what you're talking about. On the show, Earl gets in trouble for doing bad things. That's the whole show. Right. Let's try it this way. Every day you go to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee on the way to work. The first time you went there, you ordered milk, 2 sugars. When you got your coffee, it tasted like there was 4 sugars in there. The next day you went back. So instead of getting your coffee with milk and 2 sugars, you just got milk and added the sugar yourself. Over time, you started doing that again and again and again, and you started to perceive that Dunkin' Donuts can't get the sugar right in your coffee, so you have to do the sugar part yourself. That was based on a true experience initially, but over time, it became a habit for you to add your own sugar. And even though 100 counter people came and went in the year since you started going there, you assumed that they were incapable of getting the sugar right, so you just kept doing your own sugar. The original experience might have been true, and then you based your actions on that experience. But as those actions became habitual, you reinforced your perception that Dunkin' couldn't get your sugar right, and that affected how you viewed the world and how you acted moving forward. And that's how karma works. It happens all within your own mind. Nobody else has to do anything. You just have to think it and then base your actions based on your thoughts and then continue to do the same thing over and over again. That can happen in small ways, like your sugar in your coffee, or it can happen in large ways, like viewing the world as an angry, hateful place where people are out to get you. That's karma. It's your actions based on your worldview, and it's completely in your head. You're making no sense to me, but that Jamie Presley is still pretty hot. Okay, well, let's hope that that is the last time that the Visions of Cody players will be making an appearance, for your sake. But to recap tonight's episode, talking about yoga is fun with other people that are interested in yoga or on a podcast. Talking about yoga with regular people will probably get you pigeonholed as a freak. Just words to consider, things to consider. But I'm going to send it off tonight with a Black Crowes song in honor of Chris and Rich and the boys coming to town. This is a very old B-side called Love Is Now, a really great song, and Love Is Now. So have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
While you sit, watch me cry, enjoy you.